Let's be encouraged by the word of God. Of course, midweek service is a prayer service, and prayer is also praising. And so tonight, I'd like to encourage us on the topic of praising the Lord, and the title of tonight's message, Perfected Praise. Perfected Praise, of course, if you catch that title, it's from Matthew 21. Turn with me. And just a very powerful illustration that Jesus uses, based on the praise given to him by the children and the younglings, the babes, the sucklings. And so let's go to Matthew 21 and go to verse 15 with me. And then we're going to back up and then kind of go through that chapter. But the thought of perfected praise, Matthew 21, verse 15, and the Bible says this, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased, and said unto him, 'Hearest thou what these say?' And Jesus saith unto them, 'Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise?'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a thought. Awesome thought to be in thy house even tonight. We thank you for the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the joy of thy salvation. So, Father, bless now this prayer meeting. May it be according to your will and be well-pleasing in thy sight. Father, we confess that, Lord, there's nothing in us, Lord, that merits your blessings. But, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, Lord, your unmerited favor, that you love even me, Lord, in all my sin. Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ saving me, drawing me to himself, Lord. And just bless tonight the service, Lord, and be with thy folks, you know, here, Lord, and encourage us in a special way. And be with those who are, you know, not able to make it, Lord, and some are traveling, some with illness and pain, and just comfort them, Lord. And Father, we pray your will be done in tonight's service, Lord, and that we be about thy kingdom work, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for the sweet time of prayer to come. And Holy Spirit of God, have free reign. Speak to us. May we truly praise you with perfect praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Perfect praise, of course, meaning complete. That is always the context when the Bible says the word perfect. It's perfect, yes, in the sense that it is complete. It is whole. Everything that God intends it to be. There's no missing parts. It's all there. And so it's a perfect praise that God has perfected from the mouth of babes and of young children. And again, this is the account that, you know, chapter 21, again, is the account of Jesus riding in triumphantly into Jerusalem. He comes as indeed the king in fulfillment of a prophecy that Zechariah 9:9. But he also comes in humility. You know, he's not riding on some tremendously thoroughbred white stallion. No, he comes in on a very humble, very modest baby donkey, okay? And so it's yes, he's a king, okay, but he's also the sacrificial lamb of God. He's also a Passover lamb that he's going to die 5 days later, okay? And so he comes in, declared the king, also declared the Passover lamb, fulfilling his task that God has given him to be our sacrifice. But he is proclaiming himself to be the Messiah. And then it shows the common people in this account in chapter 21, including the kids, okay, praising the Lord Jesus. But it also shows the naysayers, okay? You have the common folk, you know, the people in general who are cheering on Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and praising him. But then you have the, the bad guys. You have the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, again, who don't want Jesus to be praised. They think it's just blasphemous, you know, that only God should be praised this way, not this man, Jesus. This is excessive. This is way too much. This is extravagant, you know? And so really, in the crowd of the event, you can kind of get a sense of, it's almost like a tale of two opinions, two desires, two opposing currents, you know, one that is flowing this way to praise God, the other going this way that is anti-praise for the Lord, Jesus, and one is for praise for him, one is against praise of him, one is to ignite and explode the praises of the Lord, the other is to stifle it and to extinguish the praise of the Lord Jesus, you know, and so, in a way, kind of, we can kind of look at that as our own flesh and spirit, right? Our flesh and our spirit, they are contrary one to another. Our spirit wants to praise the Lord and glorify God. Amen. Our flesh, of course, doesn't. Our flesh wants to just glorify and please its own self, you know? And so if we can look at chapter 21, how praise kind of plays out here, how the Lord Jesus is praised, and what takeaways we can kind of pull from this, starting, of course, with Jesus riding in on the donkey. He gets praises from the general, you know, people there, and then culminating with what he calls perfected praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Amen. And so if you go to verse 1 with me, this is kind of the setup here. And so just to draw and just to imagine with me in this scenario, and the scripture says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples," so he's going to go get the mount, "saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt bring with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them." Which, by the way, just because we aren't the brightest and the bestest or the fastest or the strongest horse doesn't mean God can't use us. We might be the lowly donkey. We might just be perfect for the job. Praise the Lord. "Straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying," so it's always been God's will, God's plan. Jesus is going to fulfill this prophecy. Again, Zechariah 9:9. "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon." And so this is the setup. Here he comes, Jesus, the king, coming to save his people. What a king. Praise the Lord. Even as the Old Testament kings would go along with the soldiers into battle, Jesus, as the King of Kings, came to redeem a people unto himself. Again, if Jesus came just to set up his kingdom, he would have no citizens, because we need to be all saved from our sins to be born again, to be citizens of the kingdom of God. And so this is why he came the first time. The second time he comes will be as a conquering king. The first time he comes is as the savior king. But anyway, so Jesus, he as a king, comes to save his people. He comes in riding in humility on a donkey. Again, he is also the Passover lamb. He will be sacrificed for the salvation of the world. And so verse 8, here's how the general people respond. Look at verse 8. "And a very great multitude," so all kinds of people. If you are painting this picture, you have all kinds of dots for all the heads. So a lot of bodies. "A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way." Jesus, the Lord, loves congregational praise, congregational worship. The praise that they are giving to Jesus here is deliberate. That's the one thing that kind of comes to mind when I read verse 8. It doesn't happen by chance. You don't just accidentally spread your garments in the way for the donkey to trample on. Again, it's muddy roads. These are not paved roads, okay? And you certainly don't accidentally cut down branches and put them in a way like kind of a red carpet, but branches, okay? This is very deliberate. It takes effort. Praise takes effort. Worship has a cost. It requires sacrifice, of course, obedience, you know, not just lip service, you know. And how serious are we in praising God? You know, you look at this verse 8 here. These folks were pretty serious to do what they were doing. You know, they meant business. They had to go out of the way to praise the Lord. You know, will I praise the Lord even if it's inconvenient, even if I'm tired, exhausted, in pain, etc.? Verse 9, and then here comes now that the branches, the carpets or branches already. Here comes the Lord riding down on his donkey in verse 9. "And the multitudes that went before and that followed," so some went ahead of him, some followed behind him, "cried." Now, this is not, you know, weeping, boo-hooing. this is, you know, speaking loudly. I mean, not to say screaming, okay, but they're crying out loud, okay, they're shouting to some degree, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." What a chant. And you can just imagine people all saying this. You know, you can hear all the voices in unison. Maybe some, you know, maybe some are saying Hosanna at the end, and some are starting, you know, but all together they're kind of chanting this and they're praising the Lord, and the people are loud. And it kind of got me thinking, when was the last time we actually cried, again, yelled or got loud, you know? And okay, I get loud every day. Okay, but the idea, if you think of getting loud, I think one of the loudest I possibly ever screamed, it was after the Thursday night service, and Sister Kitty and I were there in the parking lot, but Brother Paul Kurtman was, he went to go get his van. We remember this. Well, I won't forget it. I was in the second parking lot. He was parked on the first, and he went to go get his van and back out. Of course, his cute little son, Oliver Kurtman's running after Dad. Paul doesn't see him. He gets into his van, and his son is coming right behind him, little short guy. You couldn't see him through the rearview mirror. And I see Brother Paul put it into reverse, the brake light, the reverse light come on, and he's going to back right into his son. And I remember I said, I was up, he couldn't see me, it was dark. I said, Lord, I hope he can hear me. And I went, stop! And he stopped, and Auntie Kitty, Sister Kitty, she screamed something too, like, ah! And he stopped, you know, and so no harm, no foul. He got out, got Oliver in. You know, Oliver just wanted to be by Dad, you know, just wanted to follow after Dad, and he didn't know his son was coming, so he was going to back out. But no harm, no foul, praise the Lord. But I yelled because it was a big deal. You can say that's an emergency, okay? But I'm trying to think, when is the last time we actually cried out? Maybe when we're in horrific pain, it really hurts. Oh, it hurts. Oh, Lord, please help. You know, or what a joy that these folks were crying out, not in pain, not in agony, not in desperation, but they're crying out in what? Praise. Praise. Here's their king they've been praying for and waiting for. Here he comes, and they're excited. And so they're crying out. Everyone and their brother could hear. That's amazing. And praising God with our mouth, it's important, right? Because it reveals what's in our heart. And so it's only the fruit, the seeds in the heart, but the two are intertwined. You know, Matthew 12:34 tells us, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if you have praise in your heart, it's going to bubble up to your mouth. And then in Hebrews 13 verse 15, it tells us, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is what? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so what comes out of our mouth, that's the fruit. And so, but the seed is what's in our heart, you know. And so if someone doesn't have a desire to praise God, there's something off in their heart. There's something amiss in their heart. Like the Pharisees. They didn't want to praise Jesus, right? Because they are way off. And they're not even saved, okay? I mean, because they reject the Lord, okay? So they had the wrong perception of Jesus. They had the wrong relation with Jesus. They had the wrong fellowship with Jesus. In fact, they had no relation with Jesus, and they had an adversarial relation, fellowship with him. I mean, they were completely estranged from him. So, of course, there's no desire for them to praise the Lord. In fact, they felt upset. They felt indignant that others were, right? Like, oh, no, we shouldn't be doing it. Pipe it down. Come on, he's just another teacher, rabbi like ourselves. You don't praise me like that. You know, so they kind of got upset. But if there's truly the joy of thy salvation, God's salvation in our heart, we'll love to praise him, right? We'll love to praise him. And so these folks were excited. They were crying out. And then verse 10, so what happens? And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Now, this is pretty awesome, because everyone that was around Jesus, you know, as he was riding in, the immediate group, they were shouting, you know, praising God. And so the whole city knew about it. And they're saying, well, who is this? Of course, good question. Let me tell you, verse 11, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now, this is awesome because they're linking verse 11 to verse 10. Okay, in verse 10, they're praising Jesus as the Lord. And everyone's saying, well, I heard the Lord showed up. He's finally here, the Messiah. Who is he? Jesus. And this is his human name, right? Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee, that carpenter over in Nazareth. By the region of Galilee. That's him. He's our long-awaited Messiah. So they kind of connect the dots. That's amazing. So praises of God glorifies God, but it also testifies of God, which is, in a way, also glorifying God. So it testifies of the Lord. If you go to Psalms 96 with me, or Psalm, singular, Book of Psalms, plural, but Psalm 96 with me. Psalm 96, let's go to verse 3. Praising, of course, glorifies God, but it also testifies of him. And so Psalm 96, and let's go to verse 3. And the Bible says here, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. I mean, yes, absolutely in witnessing. But the idea is when we worship and praise the Lord, the unsaved, they know it. They see it. You know, the crowd, they weren't going door-to-door, per se, and telling people about Jesus as the Savior. They were just praising the Lord on their own. But people heard it, and they say, hey, what's the deal? And they're like, oh, this is Jesus of Nazareth. The Pharisees, they were unbelievers, but they saw everyone praising it, and they're like, oh, we can't stand it. Okay, but it testifies of their own need for Jesus. When unsaved family and friends, when we praise the Lord and they go, oh, so-and-so can't make it to this family event because they're going to church or whatever. I mean, that testifies of the Lord that he is number one in our life. When unsaved neighbors, even those around the church, you know, it's a midweek, you know, Thursday night here, but you see the church lights on. Well, that's a testimony that we are praising the Lord, and it glorifies him, and it testifies to others of the Lord. And so how did the Pharisees respond? Well, here's another application. Let's go to Luke. And so Luke records it this way. And so it kind of complements Matthew. But let's go to Luke first before we go back to Matthew. Let's go to Luke 19. Luke, of course, this account is recorded by Dr. Luke. But he adds this piece of information here. So Luke 19, let's go to verse 37. This is, again, the same account here. Luke 19, verse 37. So all this is happening. What's the Pharisees? They can't stand it. So look at verse 37. It says, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth, verse 37, I'm reading chapter 18 here. Okay, 37, verse 37, Luke 19. Okay, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. Again, their praising is rooted in their rejoicing, right? They are rejoicing, so they're not faking it. In fact, the crowd couldn't contain it. They couldn't help it. They're just so happy, they just have to praise, right? So it bubbles out, because they're rejoicing in the heart. Praise shows up on the lips. Okay, with a loud voice, they weren't just, you know, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord, you know, no, they were yelling, they were crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David, right? They weren't just mumbling it, they weren't just, you know, just whispering it. Loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. I mean, that's awesome. They had what a praise fest. And then, what's their response? Verse 38, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, you're going to have always some naysayers. Don't let them get us down, friends. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him. So they kind of break rank and kind of talk to Jesus here amidst the cheering. Master, rebuke thy disciples. Of course, they call him Master, not as in Lord. Master here means, in the Bible, means teacher, right? Like after your baccalaureate, you can get your master's. Okay, so master's meaning here from an educational standpoint, as a rabbi, as a teacher. They looked at Jesus only as a fellow teacher, not the Savior, not the Lord. And say, Master, rebuke thy disciples. So they want Jesus to scold his followers for praising him, right? And like, Lord, can you, or not Lord, but Master Jesus, can you correct your disciples? There seem to be some misunderstanding here. They're calling you Lord and Messiah. Can you tell them not to do that? That's blasphemous. And here's what Jesus says in verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Woo! Wow! What a thought! And so God made creation to praise him. All creation is meant to praise the Lord, certainly including his disciples. And so Jesus not only endorses what the disciples are doing, cheering, you know, cheering him on, praising him, he says it's fitting for them to do that. In fact, if they don't do it, these very stones will cry out and praise me, because I am the Lord. I mean, that is wow, what an epic response, right, that the Lord gives. And God wants our praise to him to be full of joy, full of sincerity, full of thankfulness. It's okay. It's okay to go loud. I get it. I get it. You know, but you want to shout it from the rooftops, right? If you're saved, thank the Lord for it, and may it be a testimony to others that you're saved, that you're his. But that's not that's not all of it, because there's more that happens here. For our praise to be perfect, again, whole, complete, absolutely total, total package, exactly as God wants it, our praise also needs to be full of awe and wonder. And what I mean by awe and wonder is, well, let's go back to Matthew 21. Such as children are known to exhibit. And so let's go to Matthew 21 where we first started. Let's go to verse 12. So Matthew 21, let's go to verse 12. And so now Jesus comes in, of course, then he cleans the temple, so we know this, and says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, this is awesome. Again, Jesus is cleaning house. Praise God for that. But what a sight to behold. I mean, these vendors have been here forever. You know, everyone, adults, kids alike, everyone is kind of used to seeing the vendors here, the money changers. Of course, we know it's gotten so corrupt. Jesus, you know, calls it as like it is and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So we know it's just a money business. That's all it is. You know, it's not, there's no prayer. There's no spirituality. It's just all fake. And again, just for context, these money changers and these vendors, these animal vendors, have set up shop in the temple courtyard, specifically the outer courtyard, where the Gentiles were permitted to worship, but also the blind and the maimed, the halt, and you know, the disabled. Okay, so that is where they can assemble, or at least in theory, because with the vendors set up there, a lot of them were kind of pushed out, and so the Gentiles and the blind and the lame typically could no longer worship God. At least from the temple standpoint, because of the business that was set up there by the vendors. And so what happens? Jesus gets rid of them. He cleanses the temple. And then once those vendors are out of the way, verse 14 kicks in, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Again, the outer courtyard of the temple. Now they can come in. That's wonderful, the way that God intended. That this is a wonderful thing. And it doesn't stop there, because now Jesus is here. What happens? And he what? Healed them. Now, just for some extra context, okay, to imagine this sight, imagine the little children who are there, perhaps... perhaps you're one of the blind or lame parents, and today you kind of hobble your way there, or maybe your young son leads you by your hand, says, son, let's go to the temple today to worship the Lord. And they say, well, I don't know, Dad, we can never get in. It's always full of vendors. I'm just adding, you know, context. Okay. And so maybe, and they show up at the temple and they say, Dad, there's a commotion going on. Whoa, what is it, son? Well, it looks like this man is throwing tables over. You know, tell it to me, son. What's going on? I wish I could see. You know, and so maybe the son describes it. And again, oh, here's another bonus context. This is the next day. Okay, when Jesus goes into the temple, turns the table, this is the next day. The previous day is when Jesus rode in on the donkey. Now this is pretty awesome, because if you go back to verse 10. Those that showed up here the next day might have missed this. They might have missed Jesus riding in on the donkey, but they heard about it. So look at verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Okay, then people tell him it's Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So imagine that you missed this with Dad yesterday, and you're like, Dad, we heard that this Jesus of Nazareth hit the Messiah. We should go tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, which is where we're reading now. And so this is the next day. And so the young children, they're there with their maybe disabled parent, okay? And they see this happen. Maybe the dad's not blind. You can see it, but you're lame, so you're limping, or you're crippled. Your son helps you walk there. And you see Jesus turn over the tables and like, whoa, what's going on? And they say, come on in. And we all go in. And he heals them all. What a sight to behold. Now imagine maybe you're the child. Maybe you're the child, and you see your dad or your mom get healed to full health. Isn't that awesome? You see your mom walk again. And not only does she walk, she jumps. Like, look, I can jump, no pain. Or you see your dad. Oh, that's how you look. Oh, and you, whatever. I mean, just think of the joy that's erupting when Jesus heals these broken families. And the kids are there. And the kids had heard, supposedly, that Jesus was the Son of David. And so they quote and they rehearse what they heard said of Jesus yesterday, perhaps when they weren't there. So look at verse 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things, remember our praise has to be in wonder and awe, the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, just like the adults were, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now the kids are saying it. Oh, man. For the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders, the chief priests, it was bad enough when the grown-ups were saying it, but now the kids are saying it. I mean, everyone's saying it, you know. But the idea is that the kids heard the grown-ups say it yesterday. And then today, they got to see mom or dad or grandpa get healed. And they're like, Hosanna to the Son of David. Oh, he is the Messiah. Oh, and they're losing their minds. They're all excited. Of course, the naysayers, they are sore displeased. And when a child gets excited, it is pure, I don't know how to say it, pure energy, okay? And the idea is, I remember, I think of even magic tricks when I was a kid. And I think my uncle, yes, my dad's uncle, so my dad's cousin. So I don't know what that makes him to be. But anyway, my dad's cousin, he showed me his severed thumb trick. You know, it goes like this. I was maybe 5 years old. I forget what it is. And he's like, he grunted. And then he separated his thumb. It went really long, like his middle finger. And then he put it back. And like, oh, that hurt. And I went, whoa. Wow. It was, what I saw was, I was full of awe, shock and awe and amazement. I mean, I was just stunned out of my mind. Like, wow, how did that happen? Of course, you know, when I learned the trick and I showed my mom and dad, they were less than enthused. You know, they're like, oh, good job, son. You know, you figured it out, you know. And what I'm saying is when the kids saw the miracles happen, they were full tilt. They were instant believers. I'm just saying, like when kids see a magic trick, like, whoa! Whereas adults, you and I, we're like, yeah, okay, pretty good entertainment value. I know there's no such thing as magic, so it's some trick that I didn't know, but evidently some mirror or something. You know, I'm just saying that's just how our skepticism is. But these kids, when they saw Jesus do these miracles, they were all in, completely. And they were praising and shouting, Hosanna. And so that's what Jesus means in verse 16. And he said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Again, they were so indignant. I mean, these naysayers, obviously Jesus heard the praises. So when they say, hearest thou what these say? They're not asking Jesus, did you hear that? What they're telling Jesus is they shouldn't be saying that, right? Like, Lord Jesus, you should put an end to this. You should stop these kids from just, you know, acting up in church. They shouldn't be praising the Lord. And so that's what they're saying. Well, Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read? Now, there's a little cut here as well, because Jesus knows that these Pharisees and these scribes and these chief priests obviously have read this. Jesus quotes Psalm 8:2. He knows they've read it, but he knows it's not in your heart. Right? So he says, you guys don't get it. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast perfected praise. And God's praise is made whole and complete when it comes from a innocent babe, a innocent suckling that has no ulterior motive, just calls it like it is. You know, I remember my our kids when they were young, when we would feed them, if it was a baby food that they liked, they would want more. If they didn't like it, they didn't care about my feelings. They didn't care how much I paid for it. If I gave them, I don't know, some prune mixed with oats, or I don't know, whatever, the different, oh, you get all kinds of weird flavors. And if they didn't like it, I knew it, because they won't try to cover it up and fake it, you know, but if they liked it, well, they'll eat the whole bottle. So it's a pure, it's they're all in. And again, these children, their eyes probably as large as saucers. When Jesus did the miracles, they were completely impressed. And for our praise to be like children, we have to worship the Lord. Yes, we got to be sincere, Don't fake it. We've got to be thankful, of course, that we're saved. We've got to be rejoicing. That's the source of our praise. But we have to be filled with awe and wonder. In fact, we just read that verse in Psalm 96, verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen and his what? Wonder among all people. So our praise has to be full of wonder, like, wow, like that we are just in awe of God. The kids, they were like, whoa, never forgetting this moment. You know what I'm saying? And what a testimony. Praise the Lord. Jesus calls this perfect praise. May our praise to the Lord be perfect as we are always in awe of who he is. Let's praise him. Father in heaven, Lord, we are truly humbled and in awe of you, Lord, the creator of the universe, of reality, of us, even as David, as he pondered all creation, the stars, and just the magnitude of all creation. What are we, Lord, that you are mindful of us? And the Son of Man that you visiteth him, Lord. We are just, Lord, we're so blown away by you, Lord. You're just so amazing. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your watch care over us, Lord. Thank you for your attention, Lord. Thank you for your blessings that we don't deserve. But let us always be in awe of you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.